Today on the Creator Track, we're going to talk about the Chait Smokers.
When Jace was at the table, I kept on seeing him look at me while he's with that other girl. Do you think he was just doing that to make me jealous? Because he was totally texting me all night last night, and I don't know if it's a booty call or not. So, like, what do you think? Did you think that girl was pretty? How did that girl even get in here? Do you see her? She's so short, and that dress is so tacky. Who wears Cheetah? It's not even summer. Why does the DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness? After you get out of the bathroom, can we go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie.
So yeah, if you're annoyed by this song, I apologize. I do think it's one of the more revolutionary songs because it just has a story. It reflects a part of life that it maybe isn't so, people are not really proud of it, but it really happens. I've met girls like this and it's fun. It's not, doesn't take itself too seriously. And I just think it's a good bop at the end of the day. But the Chainsmokers themselves have a good story to tell about it. And so here's the actual podcast clip that we're playing, which is from Guy Raz's new podcast, The Great Creators.
Hey, welcome back to The Great Creators. I'm Guy Raz. So while the Chainsmokers were dominating the online remix world, they started making original music and hit it big with one of their first records, a novelty song called Selfie that pokes fun at women taking photos of themselves at a club. I know that you guys are probably about a year and a half into your collaboration together. You did have a hit, a success with a song called Selfie, which I know you guys are sort of embarrassed about now, and I've read that it sort of makes you cringe, but still, I mean, you got a lot of traction from the song. Anybody who knows that song knows it's kind of a novelty song. You could have been and probably were destined at that point to kind of be like a novelty act, and that was it. Like, in a sense, were you worried at the success of that song? Were you worried that maybe you had peaked at that point and you wouldn't be able to recover from that perception of being a novelty act?
We were pretty resilient in knowing what we wanted Chainsmokers to be, but it was a very confusing time, yeah. A very confusing experience. You know, essentially we made Selfie. We had all these bloggers writing about our remixes at this point. We had this really cool indie electronic fan base, and we had started touring a little bit out of New York City. We were going to colleges, going to DC, we were going to like Florida, and it was cool. And then, you know, we kind of made this song as a, to promote our first night at Live Nightclub in Miami. Mm-hmm. That was literally the full, we thought that, we'll post this and all the blogs will write about it. Then they'll write about our show and people,
and
I don't know what our thought process was there. And we put it out and everyone was like, this song is hilarious. And it sounded nothing like anything we were making at the time. Yeah. That was a really, and I don't know if the decision to embrace the success of that song was harmful or helpful to us, because, we went from having this cool, what we thought was, big fan base at the time, to having this massive song that no one respected. You know, all of our idols, all of our peers in the dance world, people that we looked up to, thought we were like the laughing stock of EDM at that point. And, I think
did that matter to you? I mean, I know Deadmau5 like tweeted out, the only thing that you guys in EDM have in common is cancer at that moment, and Porter Robinson, DJ, people were kind of did that hurt, or did you think,
to this day those two are like two of, I've always looked up to them as producers and artists, and especially Deadmau5. I was a massive fan of him. And, we knew it was cringy, and I think that was what makes it like hurt a little bit more.
Yeah. But there was a moment when we were like I would say there's probably 2 weeks where that song was cool. Yeah. And then, there was another 6 months or 8 months of like playing that song, but everywhere we played it was, people loved it, and we were like traveling the world and finally like in a position where we actually really didn't have to worry about how we were going to, pay our rent next month. But what happened is like somewhere along the way of the life cycle of anything, it was just like you got to that point where you were like, what is going on right now with this song? You know what I mean? Like now we're actually having to start, meeting people that we admire and hanging around at festivals with them. And this is like, this is our crown jewel right here. And that kind of sucked, but we always believed in ourselves. At no point did we not think we had more to offer, but we began to realize and be more self-aware of what people thought about us. And we were kind of stuck in this like weird position where we knew, you know, we knew we had more of the show, and this wasn't a song that was indicative of the type of artist that we wanted to be. But that's like all people really had to go on. And like some people thought we were two chicks. People didn't even think we were, you know,
they thought
two
you
guys.
Were the voices,
the
in
girl.
That. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I think, you know, there were just certain things we did around it from a promotional aspect that I think just went too far. And I think if you kind of had just let it be what it was, and you could still tour it and play it, then like that's one thing. There were a lot of valuable lessons learned during this period about saying no and listening to your instinct and standing up for yourself and the things that you're comfortable doing that we know now. But at the time, you're in this position of just like, I don't want to mess this up, you know? And I think like there's so many factors that play into that exact thought process that I think a lot of artists go through, which is like signing deals that aren't advantageous to you just because for the first time in your life you have an opportunity not to be broke. But at the time it was kind of like it didn't seem like there were a lot of other options. We just knew that the next thing we had to do was show people who we really were.
Yeah. I want to shift for a moment and talk a little bit about your process. Really, you guys sort of became widely known as performers and as producers. And I want to understand your process, right? So you have I don't know how many number one singles you've made, many, and top 10 singles that you've produced and written. And help me understand how you sit down and construct a song like that. What do you, like, is there sort of an outline in your minds? Do you begin with lyrics? Do you have a particular sound, or do you just kind of tinker as you go along?
We have no formula. Every song is different. Sometimes it starts with a lyric. Sometimes it starts with Alex playing the piano. Sometimes it starts with the beat that I make to try and impress a girl that I'm dating. Sometimes it's like literally like the inspiration comes from everywhere. And sometimes it's like right in the session and you're just trying to like get everyone on a vibe and you just start playing something. There's the origin and inspiration for songs. It comes from all over the place from us.
Alex, what's your sort of thinking around process?
Yeah, I mean, he's spot on. I mean, there's not a song that we've done that feels like it's replicated the process of another one. In those like 2 years of remixes, we were like preparing ourselves mentally to like break out and start original music. And that was like a really interesting conscious decision because we were making really solid money to do these things. And we were getting really solid plays and people really were taking notice of them. And we kind of said like, that's it. No more remixes. We're spending too much of our time and creative energy on these remixes instead of focusing on what our sound is going to be.
Yeah.
And I think we've done enough of these now where we understand what people are coming to us for. And it was like this balance of, you know, indie, electronic, and, you know, and it was really exciting. And I remember we found Roses on Hype Machine. She had done some song and we loved her voice.
Yeah.
We sent her an email and we're like, you know, we should work on an original song together. And she's like, I'll come up to New York. We went into Drew's apartment and I think Drew had the first chords you hear in Roses. And it just started. I mean, it was like the craziest thing I'd ever witnessed. And at this point, I was still like very much learning. I definitely wasn't songwriting. I feel like my role at this time was like a more of a Rick Rubin.
And Rick Rubin, of course, the founder of Def Jam Records, who sort of discovered the Beastie Boys and Public Enemy and several others.
This is a very generous thing to compare myself to
at
that time.
Okay. Sorry.
But just from a practical standpoint, you know, of being like, that sounds really good, or you're overthinking this, or that what you did back 10 minutes ago is the direction you should go in. And I remember just watching, you know, him and Roses just like kind of like spill this song out over the course of like 2.5 hours or something crazy. And like even recording the full vocal in the bedroom and then the drop. And it was like more or less done in like 3.5 hours.
Wow.
And what was so like mind blowing about that was like, obviously just, you didn't know what we had at the time, but what was really cool was like, I remember going home to my apartment, which was like 100 feet away, and wanting to like hear the song again and again and again. And it was like, wait, this is crazy. Like, we make remixes all the time. By the time we're done with them, the last thing I'm trying to do is like hear this remix again. But I couldn't stop listening to this song. That was like a really unique, special feeling. And to this day, it's like something that we think a lot about, which is just like, you know, after beating a song to death, like how much do you want to hear it? And, you know, but we believed in this vision, and Roses kind of became the backbone for what would become, you know, the greater vision behind the Chainsmokers.
True. How would you describe the sound that you were and are going after?
It can be anything, but like it needs to, you just get this feeling where you're like, that has to be something, or like, we need to see what that can be. On this album, So Far So Good, Alex and I and Ian Kirkpatrick and Emily Warren and Wheat Thin sat around in Hawaii for a week and just listened to stuff that we loved. We'd hear something like, oh, what if we did something like that? And obviously our interpretation ends up sounding nothing like it. And that would kind of, like, we get like a little idea of something or say a couple lines. And then as soon as it became like predictable, we just completely flipped the script on it, which was really fun. Like, we have a song called Maradona that is this really kind of dreamy, like postal service beat that starts. And then we're like, okay, what would happen now? Okay, let's just throw a random Fat Man Scoop chopped up sample over it. Mm. And I think that's what's been really stimulating for us now is as soon as something feels a little safe, fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing just fine before I met you. I drink too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay. Hey, you tell your friends it was nice to meet them, but I hope I never see them again. I know it breaks your heart. Moved to the city in a broke down car in 4 years, no calls. Now you're looking pretty in a hotel bar and I can't stop. No, I can't stop. So baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your room.
The day I met you, I forget just why I left you. I was insane. Stay and play that Blink 182 song. That would beat to death in Tucson. Okay.